Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, my brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks for being with us today. I am flying on a wing and a prayer today, so just bear with me. I do thank you for being with us. We're just going to talk about what's up, basically. So if you have something that you want to talk about, the number is 516-387-1944. That is 516-387-1944. Want to hear what's on your mind. I do have a few topics I do want to bring up. So I appreciate your input on those. The first has to do with the teachers and the guns and the schools and the Florida Senate passing a bill yesterday. Well, actually, it might have been Monday, allowing teachers to carry guns. It's State Bill 7030. Make school safety changes. It still has to pass in the House. Districts must approve allowing teachers in what is termed the Guardian program. It was passed yesterday in the Florida Senate. The teachers would have to be trained and have psychological evaluations, which I think they should have to have anyway, because the other issue that we're dealing with these days with the kids in the schools is the abuse in the schools, sexual and otherwise, by teachers and coaches and all that. And I don't want to disparage the good teachers that are doing what they're supposed to be doing in the schools, but we've had more of these things that come up. So I want to hear what you have to say about these issues. And the number is 516-387-1944. Because I have several questions. I don't have kids in school. I don't have kids, but I have younger relatives, and there are things that concern me. I don't care if it's my flesh and blood kid or anything else. But my first question would be, and I need to ask this of teachers too. I really would like to hear from some teachers, although they might be a little bit busy right now. If you're a retired teacher, you might have some input too. How would you feel if your colleague, especially if it's a colleague that you already have some concerns about, how would you feel if you knew they were packing or that they had access in the school and it might be one of their bad days and they're not feeling all that favorable toward you? I don't know, you know, exactly what the plans are in order to ensure that, I mean, because a psychological exam, that is helpful. But say you have somebody that passes a psychological exam and just may break one day. My other question is, if you have a child and the child knows that one of the teachers, especially one that may not be so favorable toward them, is packing a gun or has access to a gun, is that going to affect how that child feels about coming to school? So I just want to know what you're thinking, because I know for someone like me, that would kind of bother me a little bit. So to get your input would be very great. The other thing is, if there is a mistake. And I was talking earlier with licensed mental health counselor Kathy Booker, who she's going to try to come on the show today. She's busy. But if there is an error, if there is a mistake, if someone gets shot accidentally, who is responsible? Is it the school that's responsible? Is the teacher left out there in the cold? You know we are in a society right now that unfortunately is too happy. Anything that happens, they're looking for someone to hang something on. So who gets the blame, you know? And then what does that do to that teacher's career? At the same time, my other question is the teacher going to be more focused on the gun, the protection of the student, the protection of the campus, more so than teaching the subject that they've been hired to teach? You know, I would hate to have that kind of divided loyalty. So and that's one of the reasons I personally have a problem with it. I think that people who are there to teach should teach, and then people that are there to secure the property and to secure the students, and not in that order because life is always first. I think those people should focus on that. They shouldn't be teaching in classrooms, and the teacher shouldn't be out trying to shoot guns. So I'm all game to hear what you all have to say, because you know me, I have an opinion about everything. So did I hear someone on the air? I thought I might have heard someone. Okay, not yet. So anyway, the bill passed in the Florida Senate 22-17. It requires this, like I said, the teacher would have to volunteer. So it's not a forced thing. The teacher would have to volunteer. The teacher would have to undergo psychological evaluations. And this is according to, I'm reading off of a Spectrum News 13 report, and be trained by the county sheriff's office. So the bill also requires school districts to establish or assign safe school officers and revise school district zero tolerance policies. So I'm not sure what that revision requires, but anyway. The other, do I hear you, Kathy, or is it Stephanie?
Yes, ma'am. Good morning.
Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I am wonderful, wonderful. Not so happy about this topic. It's ugly. That's all I can say. Very, very ugly.
Yeah. I'm having issues with it. Because I think the teachers have enough of a challenge. The teachers
in the
school already trying to play not only their own role that they've been hired for as teachers, but they're playing, half the time they're playing parents. The other time they're playing disciplinarian. There's so many other things that engages the teacher's time and effort. And then on top of that, they're kind of worried about how to make ends meet and how to have appropriate resources in the classroom. I mean, that's why they're doing backpack and charity drives every year. You know, the proper books and stuff like that. But I just don't see that this is one more thing that should be added to a teacher's
I agree.
You know, responsibility.
And
Kathy, before you came on, one of the things I was asking is, what does that do psychologically to the child or to another coworker, knowing that there's someone that has stepped up and said, you know, I'm willing to wield the gun in the event that we have some sort of chaos going on in school?
Well, first of all, I think that when officers are trained, they're trained for a period of time before they can even come on the force. And if I'm not mistaken, they used to be given 3 psychological evaluations throughout the period of time that they're actually on the force, you know, before they even get on the force. So I agree with you, Gretchen. There is, teachers need not be responsible for having a gun to assist. It, to me, it feels like I'm a parent and I need a gun to be a parent. Okay, because teachers, you know, for many are surrogate parents. So psychologically, for the teacher who now has to weigh whether a person is safe or not, weigh how far do you go. I see officers who are to be, who are trained in that, having difficulty with that. And if I'm not mistaken, most of the people who came and shot up schools are not kids who are actively in school.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, why is it that we have to have teachers with guns in the classroom when it appears to me the safety of the kids need to be perimeter safety and not classroom safety? So psychologically, I would think that would be very difficult for young people, particularly mm-hmm. who are developing their personalities and feeling safe. And of course, in some instance, going to school is possibly the safest place that they thought that they could go. And now you have, we don't know how many teachers, you know, that will be allowed to carry guns, and how often do they have to have psychological evaluation? How often do they have to be in training to ensure that their emotional and mental health? I mean, being a teacher is stressful, very, very stressful. You know, and particularly when you really want to be a good teacher and you're thinking about how to help kids do better in education, they're already under the pressure of making sure kids pass these standardized tests.
Right.
Now they have to be...
That's a whole nother conversation.
You know, you got, I think it's psychologically too much. Too much for any human being to be asked to step in, and not only, you know, unless they want to train police officers to be teachers. I think I feel more comfortable with that than I would asking a teacher to now be a police officer. I think that that's a shift in a personality that you have to have that's much different than the average teacher has to assist and help kids and help them to grow and develop to be adults with, you know, clear thinking as much as possible. And, you know, to me it's a bit much. You know, I think a teacher would be there. It would be very difficult for a teacher to switch off those roles, knowing that, you know, at any time. I like the way that they have prepared teachers to make sure that if they have, you know, some issue that they have in the school, they do these codes and that the kids are safe. And they're doing that already without guns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm a person that's coming in there and want to shoot up someone, I don't care whether a teacher has a gun or not. You know, that's the whole point of it. If you're doing it to deter people that are coming from the outside in to disrupt the school and kill people, then I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they're thinking. That by giving a teacher a gun, then are you going to have the teacher leave the classroom after they make sure their class is safe to then seek out this person who's on campus and I just don't know. It's a turn in education that I think that we're not going to feel good about it. Psychologically, I was worried about the liability
mm-hmm.
as a teacher. What part of this is going to make me liable? You know, am I going to be suspended if I do shoot a student? I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's just so many questions. And I think, and I understand being safe. I understand being safe. But what
mm-hmm.
do you do when you aren't psychologically, emotionally healthy as a teacher? Are you going to surrender your gun and say,
mm-hmm.
at this time, because I'm under a lot of stress, I don't feel safe with me carrying a gun?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people just don't do that, Gretchen. You know, because if they do admit that, then they may be at risk of being in the classroom. They may lose their job.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of emotional, psychological carrying, you know, responsibility that you as a teacher would have to take on. That would be quite different than what we teach, that teachers have been trained to do for I don't know how many years, you know, ever since teaching schools to train teachers have been in effect.
Yeah. So we just have to see what's going to happen with this. And I really would, if there are any teachers, retired teachers out there that would like to comment, or any parents that have concerns that want to comment, please call in. The number is 516-387-1944. I'm here with licensed mental health counselor Kathy Booker. We're talking about current events, and we've got something else that deals with our kids when we come back. This is G's Power Hour. I never had so good entertainment, and we will be right back. All right, welcome back to G's Power.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Hi, I'm Tim Garrison. You may know me as Timmy G. Yeah, I know. It's been 2 decades, but I want you to know I'm back in the yard with you. And I've got a mix of music that can help you relax and chill out. It's smooth. It's relaxing. It's chill out jazz. The soulful mix of smooth jazz, soul, and smooth R&B. So join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to midnight, on K-Ham Radio.
Are you chilling?
Good morning. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. I am here right now with licensed mental health counselor, Kathy Booker. We were just talking about the guns in school thing. We have another topic we want to talk about a little bit in regards to something else that concerns our young people, and that is the Boy Scouts of America. It has what they call, or what is being termed as, according to, I'm looking at this NBC News report online, a perversion file, which includes names of 7,819 scout leaders who allegedly preyed on boys. According to this, there's a lawyer to represent some sexual abuse claims in this case. They say the files go back to 1944 and has the names of 12,254 victims. That's 12,254 victims. in that time. And now, you know, some people may say 1944 is a long time ago. I don't care if it was one victim. Okay? That's one victim is one, you know,
exactly.
That's one too many. One too many. They say that the figures came from Dr. Janet Warren, a professor at the University of Virginia's medical school, who has for 5 years worked on a contract basis to evaluate how they handled sexual abuse within the organization from 1944 to 2016. She had access to the file as part of her work. He reviewed the figures in January, according to this report, while testifying in an unrelated child sex abuse case that took place at a Minnesota children's theater company. Scouts, according to this report, acknowledged keeping the files, but have resisted, according to the attorney on this case, resisted demands to release all of them. Now, goodness sake. apparently, this, I guess a lot of this started to surface when apparently in December they were considering filing for Chapter 11 for theft. Okay, so this is my question, Kathy. So we just got through with these, you know, have been under fire, and they recently allowed girls into the
right.
Boy Scouts. Okay, which, like I said, I have my own views on that, which I may express a little later. But my thing is, so why is it just because the girls are in there now that this is all coming to light, or being addressed a little bit more rigorously, or what do you think the motivation is for this being addressed now? And I mean, because that's a very long time, okay? Since 1944.
Oh, yes, well, I'm glad that it has come out. I think it's sad that so many young people had
mm-hmm.
to undergo this experience with a trusted organization and adults, and the way they handled it was, well, let's just get rid of the leader, and what did you do for the young people? How did you deal with it with their parents? Did you even tell their parents? And now, I think it's just a time that everything that's going to be exposed to how America has treated its children
mm-hmm.
and its women and its elderly. It's just a period of time that's going to come out. It's going to be exposed, and I'm glad it's being exposed because a lot of times young men go to jail for mimicking behaviors that was done to them, and they become
mm-hmm.
sex offenders and have to live with that for a lifetime, whereas it appears to me that these people have walked away scot-free and never had to deal with the authorities. So, I just think mentally and emotionally, this is, you know, because we don't know how many victims that have become victims as a result of the people who were victims. That's another
statistic.
They have no idea.
I have a variety of concerns about this because, one, this is just way too long, and there's no excuse. There's no excuse, no excuse, no excuse, period, no excuse for something to be held secret that long and this not to have been addressed. But my other concern is this. We are always constantly looking for vehicles through other than school through which our children can learn and grow and socialize and develop a variety of skills. And that's one of the things that I like about the Scouts. I was in Brownies and Girl Scouts myself for a while. You know, there's a lot of good. Yeah, there's a lot of good in the Scouts. However, so what my concern is this going to destroy the Boy Scouts? Is it going to just demolish them or just destroy them and never to be resurrected again? Or is it a chance? Is there a second chance for the Boy Scouts for them to come clean and deal with the issue and start over as maybe, you know, dealing with its core values and everything and from a fresh perspective? What are your thoughts? And if there's anybody out there, I know I have one friend, I should have called him and asked him, you know, because he's involved in the Scouts, he and his son, the church members of mine. And, you know, what's your perspective on this, Kathy?
I don't know how you can trust an organization that let something so serious go for so long. I enjoy I agree with what they've tried to teach. I agree with the principles that they have, you know, attempted to provide for young people. For, you know, as many generations as we could think of, but how do you tell a man how to be responsible when their leaders themselves have not been responsible?
Yeah.
I don't know how you reconcile that. How do you make that right? And that's the one thing, you know, if you're going to be an example to young people of how to be responsible, that means you also have to be responsible for sexual choices. You know, maybe that's one part of, you know, you getting a badge for now can be a part of their curriculum. And I don't understand why it was not in the first place. Because, you know, if your kid is sick or if something happens to them physically, they had to, you know, make sure they had all of the forms and everything signed for people to take kids for the camp, you know, for the big camporamas and stuff. But nothing in there ever related to if an adult behaves inappropriately with your child, what is the policy and procedure for that? So you're going to wait, and, you know, this is 2019 from, you know, 1944 till now, to now address this issue, and it wasn't the Boy Scouts, I guess, who brought it out? You know? So I don't know, you know, at a time when kids have, you know, little to hold on to ensure that their lives are going to be safe and that they're going to develop in the most healthy environments that they can, there's too many of these institutions that have not been responsible for the care of our children. And it ain't just about the law. You know, there's scriptures that say that we are responsible for the care of these children.
Mm-hmm.
We are responsible personally, spiritually responsible. So it's very difficult as a therapist to look at, you know, and it's hard to explain to young people when adults do things like that and they get away with it. In their consciousness, it's like, well, I didn't do anything that bad, so, you know, why am I being treated as the worst criminal in the world?
Mm-hmm.
So, it, you know, therapeutically it causes difficulty, much less having an adult that won't take responsibility for their behavior and their own sexual inappropriate behavior. You know,
yeah.
it, it boggles your mind. It is just too much for, I think, this generation of young people to come through and look at what you guys have been doing. How can you all tell us anything when you all have made these mistakes over and over and over and over again? Mm-hmm. You know, it just cuts through so many values, just basic values, Gretchen, that we're going to have to, you know, we're really going to have to clean house and clean house well.
Mm-hmm.
So that not only we as adults are healthy, but our children can come out in society and make healthy decisions as well.
That is so true, Kathy.
Oh, there you go. Hey, Stephanie. How you doing?
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, everyone. Hi. That is, you know, I find what you say is so true, particularly in the age when we know better now. And we cannot keep hiding behind thinking we are protecting the institution by not protecting our children. Okay? And those days are over because the institution's responsibility is to the children. As well as when I say institution, also it brings back to mind the Me Too movement, where people knew things were going on but wanted to protect the integrity of the institution. So that's why we find they, you know, you can sue them because, no, you are liable because you're supposed to say something. I was very disappointed this morning when I read this because I was in a meeting just in January with the CEO and president of the Boy Scouts, and they was just mounting this whole new program, you know, of accepting girls into the Boy Scouts with full rights and privileges because they could participate before, but they couldn't earn the honor badges, and they were just trying to make that right. And this was very disappointing when I, you know, realized this was going on because they, you know, he presented the statistics on how their numbers had fallen. Although it was still a large number in the organization, the numbers had almost, like, was cut in half. And they wanted to, you know, build it back up. And I would want to hope that this was part of his house cleaning because this was some of the things he talked about in launching a new Boy Scouts of America organization. So, but it starts with not being ashamed, just putting it on out there and say, let's deal with it.
Yeah. And unfortunately, it's not going to get resolved in this program, but we needed to talk about it. We need to address it. We need other people to join in the conversation. We're going to talk about some other things, too. The number is 516-387-1944. That is 516-387-1944. Here with licensed mental health counselor Kathy Booker and my friend Stephanie Dukes. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar, or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Swiffer Sweeper cleans so completely, you'll never go back to your old broom again.
Now a song for Mary from a Mr. Broom.
Swiffer Sweeper's redesigned to clean corners, and it traps and locks 50% more dirt, dust, and hair than a broom. So go all the way clean. New Swiffer. Clean better or your money back. Guaranteed.
Don't you want me, baby? Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. I am here with Kathy Booker and Stephanie Dukes. I hate shows like this, but I feel like we have to address stuff more doom and gloom, unfortunately. But we want to talk about being careful while we're having a good time, while we're on vacation. 70-year-old woman fell to her death at the Grand Canyon, and this is like the second incident at the Grand Canyon and the third or fourth at a national park. You know, we tend to get on vacation, and I'm guilty of all get out. I'll tell you that much right now. Get on vacation and lose your mind. It's like freedom. It's like freedom. I lost my mind on my honeymoon. I admit that. I had so much fun. I can't tell you. Thank you, husband. But
you know, that's where you're supposed to lose it at.
Okay, we ain't gonna try to go there. But you know, you get carried away though. You know, especially in a place like Grand Canyon when you know, all of the majestic scenery and all of that. And it's like, oh wait, 4th fatality there in a month. Now,
wow.
Yeah, 4th fatality there in a month. Yesterday, 70-year-old woman fell Grand Canyon National Park. You know, fell about 200 feet. Now, I have my worst case scenario fear of death in mind. This isn't it, but this would definitely rank right up there and maybe pass what I have in terms of my biggest fear of dying. And I want to go. I still would like to go. You know, there's so little left of, we build over so much stuff, and there's very little left of what nature, what God has created for us to just go and absorb and enjoy. So, but, you know, who's responsible? I mean, yes, you are responsible. But for this to happen 4 times in the same place, and this isn't the only national park, where, you know, and some other things have come up, which I've got to look up. I thought I saw something where there were some concerns about some other health hazards at some of these national parks, too. But,
wow.
What? Now, when you go on vacation, what kind of precautions do you take? That's what the question is I want to know. And then how much is it on you and how much is it on the facility or the people in charge of the facility? Because I'm talking about the 4 deaths in the Grand Canyon, but we also know and we hear in the news all the time about people going on these vacations and getting kidnapped or getting killed. So how much is it, what do we have to do in terms of our security and our safety and getting back home in one piece? Who's in charge? Who's to blame? Who's at fault? Either one of you take it. Kathy? Stephanie?
Stephanie, I believe it's 100% on both sides. It's 100%
okay
for the facility or where you were. Even when we walk out of our houses to go into establishments, it's 100% their responsibility to make sure they provide a safe environment, a safe attraction surrounding. And then it's 100% on us to make sure we do the right thing, to protect ourselves, to safeguard our own fears. Such as one of the articles I was reading is talking about how more and more deaths are occurring because we want that perfect Instagram picture.
Mm-hmm.
We want to put, you know, do it one level higher than the other person. It's like climbing Mount Everest, you know, who can get to the top knowing this is a difficult path. and they stand on these edges and ledges to show and prove these different points, and we allow ourselves to be in an unsafe zone instead of saying, you know what, you did that crazy stuff, that was you, and you know what, your wings of protection may not be the same as my wings of protection. So you know what? I'm dialing mine back a couple of drifts. And because even when I leave out the house, I check myself to see how am I making myself a target. When I did some international traveling, I didn't wear my jewelry. I took off all of my good jewelry, put on some costume stuff, but even costume stuff that wasn't looking too flashy either.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So those are the things I think it's up to us to. So I think it's a 100%, 100%. That's my take on it.
Yeah. And then, like I was saying, according to this, this is the fourth death in a month. This is in a month.
Mm-hmm.
They said 17 people died at the Grand Canyon National Park just last year. That was last year. Drew a record-breaking number of guests last year, too, 6.4 million. But and like you were talking about, Stephanie, about taking those pictures and stuff, March 28th, Chinese tourist was trying to take a photo at the Grand Canyon's West Eagle Point, and he stumbled and fell. And the other two, the first one was March 26th. March 28th was Chinese tourist. April 3rd, a 67-year-old California man fell 400 feet from the edge of the South Rim near Grand Canyon Village, and then this lady yesterday. I have to tell you, I'm guilty as all get out because on my honeymoon, I went parasailing. Never did it before. And still want to go back and do it. But I went parasailing, and I loved it. Oh, it was awesome, you know. And, you know, I'm probably not in my right. But we look at also our former late president, George Herbert Walker Bush, you know, doing the skydiving, you know.
Exactly. He didn't jump out that plane by himself. He jumped out with an experienced person with him. That was a precaution. He knew his age limit.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And I don't think there was nothing wrong with you parasailing. That was fantastic. I'm quite sure you Googled the company you were on.
I didn't.
You didn't.
I didn't.
Oh,
I did not.
Lord.
And it wasn't even in this country. It was in the Bahamas.
I'm surprised that you know.
It was in the Bahamas. You know, it was like, okay, the cord could snap. I could fly away and, you know, anything. Or I could fall into a shark's mouth, anything.
You know. Could have just stuck hanging from the chandelier if you didn't Google it.
No, I didn't. You know, and I don't know if it's that much crazy in me or whether that much trust in God. Because that's the other thing you got to look at too is do you tie yourself up in precautions to the point where you don't enjoy life? And where is your faith? How much faith do you have
to know that
whatever happens, good or bad, you're in God's hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's one of the things.
I agree with it, but I think we do the stuff, you know, we don't tie ourselves down that we become so, and Kathy, you probably can attest to this, how people mentally just, get anxiety about everything. And what do they call that? Compulsory disorders.
You can have what they call claustrophobia.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a fear of, you know, being out in, you know, in tight spaces, out among, you know, other people, you know, you just feel like you've been, you know, pent in. So rather than deal with that anxiety of being around a crowd, because you can't dictate when is you going to be a crowd? You know, if you go to a grocery store, can you get in there and get out before too many people get in there? You know, people
and
are
I have a touch of that, too. Because the best time for me to go to Walmart is early in the morning. When they're out here buffing the floors and restocking stuff, it's just great. I'm left to my own devices. I'm happy. So very early in the morning or late at night, you know, I'm game for Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
I like that, too. I like that time of morning. But, again, we go back to that precaution thing. So when I know I'm leaving my house in the dark or coming back at a late hour, what are the precautions going out shopping? Is it better that I go that time of morning? What are my risk factors? Which outweighs what?
Hold up. I got mugged in a grocery store parking lot 2 years ago at 9:08 in the morning. Bright day in July, okay? So dark, light, whatever.
Yeah, but I want some
to be more careful.
Give me more light. But oh my God, I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh God, you didn't know? We'll talk about that another time. Anyway, we're gonna take a quick break. We're going to take a quick break. I've talked about it before, but anyway, we're going to take a quick break. I'm here with licensed mental health counselor Kathy Booker and my friend Stephanie Dukes. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. If you want to call, the number is 516-387-1944, and we will be right back.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720, Dobbs. Dedicated to serving our families.
Hi, I'm Gretchen Dimp Simmons with Farrell Realty, but you know me as G from G's Power Hour. Much of the time when I'm not engaging with you on my show, I'm dealing in real estate in beautiful Central Florida. But because I'm here, that doesn't mean I can't help you wherever you are. So if you're looking to buy, invest, relocate, rent, or sell, please give me a call at 407-968-9387. That's 407-968-9387, and let me help you with your real estate needs.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks for being with us today. One other thing I wanted to talk about really quick. Didn't want to dwell on it too much, but I just wanted to get your opinion. So we got about 20 folks. Papa Joe, Bernie, and a whole bunch of other people in this hunt for the Democratic nomination for next year to run. Woo! Is that way too much? I mean, I know everybody should get a shot that wants to get a shot, I guess, or is qualified to get a shot, but why do you think, I mean, and you have people that, okay, when there were 12 people, I thought that was way too many people. But then people were still jumping in the race after that, and still people considering it. Is there a – so I just want to ask, what's up with that? You know, what are your thoughts on that? And does that kind of signify some sort of divisiveness in the party? Does it signal some sort of desperation to get the man that's currently in the presidency out? What is it? Anybody take it?
I am not satisfied with the political process, period. I don't think we need to have that many people running. It's like, okay, what is going on in the party that you all can't agree what would be the best strategy and the best people to present, to represent this country. It is, it's to me, it's like the American Idol now. You get all of these people to audition, and then as they begin to see who has the popular vote, then that's who you decide that maybe we need to go with them in order to get them to be the runner against the other party. It's like, come on, this is just too much, you know, and all of the money that is going to go into this. I'm going, don't we have problems in this country that need that kind of money? And if y'all can raise that kind of money among the 20 of you in that short a period of time, why isn't it that you all can't raise money for your constituents who need health care, who need a better educational system and a safe educational system? Why is, you know, when people, young people go to college, they have debt that lasts years. So, you know, what are we doing? You know, if we're playing American Idol president for the United States, then I guess it's okay. But what they're doing, I think it's not the right way to, I appreciate all of you all wanting to be president, but let's look at the 20 of you all and then determine who we can select to be the president that's going to do the things that we need to have done in this country, as well as a vice president and a cabinet, because I don't want to, you know, let's not just pick you because you've been hanging out with, you know, whoever for how many years. Let's pick credible people, honest people, people who are willing to do the job. Not because you can become a multimillionaire before the time you leave out of office. It's mind-boggling. It's very much like the political systems we see worldwide, where they have all of these different people, and if that's what they are desiring to do. But I don't agree with what I see happening. I don't agree with the money that we're spending to make it happen. And someone needs to say, stop it. Stop this foolishness.
Bethany?
That's my opinion.
I'm on the opposite side of the spectrum. Hello?
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, yes. I'm on the opposite side of the spectrum. I actually love it. I love that the favorite sons or daughters are not the ones we see on the tickets, that we see a good variety, and that's what I like. We get to see the system, for me, at its best of being worked, that we have the primaries so that anyone can run, you, I, anyone. And now what I feel like a lot of my other friends have problems with, it's like, well, that's too many people to evaluate. I say, exactly. So you pick your, you may have five that appeal to you. Maybe all 20 don't. But we have such a good variety in the field to look at. Now, and I'm looking at my time for how much time we have.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then the other point, Kathy, you raised was about how much money they raised. And I agree that a lot of the money could be used other ways. But what I found with working in the political system is most of the people who give to the campaigns already have nonprofit organizations that they're giving millions to. What I have found is that it's disheartening to me, the money that is raised through these campaigns and the expenditure part of it is where I have a problem. We do not spend enough of that money in, and I'm talking about African-American communities,
mm-hmm.
Certain minority communities. The Hispanic community is stepping up, developing, and making sure they get their share. But we do not have enough African Americans in positions, businesses
advertisement, the communication firms, consultants, who can command their our share of the expenditure part that goes back into the economy so we can do
right.
those things that we talk about, Kathy, of now we can fund more of our programs that we're passionate about as African Americans, that other people don't see it a lot of times. Other people don't
right.
understand it because they have they're not a part of our culture. They're not they haven't
exactly.
lived our experiences. So I love that the money is out there. I hate that there's not enough of us to get on the expenditure side. And that is something that you know, somewhere in my plans, Gretchen, of business things, that I would like to see and encourage more of our African American sisters and brothers to get in those fields. More of us on the TV and commentaries for the political analysis, so we can make the millions of dollars that are out there. So that's my take on it.
Okay. Thank you both. Before we go, a couple of things I want to say. First, happy Administrative Professionals Day or happy Secretaries Day. I don't know why. Well, various reasons that it's one or the other, however you wish to be referred to. Have a happy day. Hoping you're getting a lot of good food and a lot of good gifts and a lot of recognition. Better than all of that, hope you get a raise. That's what I hope happens for you. You know, that's what I hope. I just, you know, that other stuff is nice. How about a raise? Anyway, the other thing I wanted to just say is please join us tomorrow. For the first half hour, I'm going to have Victor Matheson. He's a sports economist. We've had him on before because I wanted to talk to him about the draft. Tomorrow's the NFL draft day. Now, some of you don't think it's relevant, but the thing that I wanted to find out is, or maybe talk a little bit about, is the impact on the draft on the lives of these young men, you know. We just think it's just football and other people are making money. But whether or not these young people get selected and where in the rankings of the draft they get selected has an impact on their income. But and so they get all this money and there's all these things that they want to do and they got all these people that are clamoring for their attention now and for their money. You know, how are they managing it? What's happening? How what is the impact on the young men that get selected, on their families, and on their community? So we want to have a discussion about that. So we're going to talk a little bit about that tomorrow with Victor Matheson and some other things tomorrow. So I hope you join us. But I want to thank Kathy Booker and I want to thank Stephanie Dukes for joining us this morning. Really appreciate you all taking the time out of your busy days. Don't hesitate to call in. We appreciate y'all joining the conversation. I know a lot of you say, I just like to listen. We like you to listen, too, but we like you to join the conversation, too. And we also want you, if you're a business, we'd like for you to advertise. You know, so if you want to advertise, there's a G's Power Hour Facebook page. If you want to reach out to me, you can always do that on the G's Power Hour Facebook page. So let me know what you want to hear on the show, and let me know if you want to advertise on the show. But other than that, thank you, you two. Appreciate it, ladies.
Thank you.
Enjoyed
it, ladies.
And thank you all for listening. You all have a blessed day. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. Have a wonderful, wonderful day, and please remember, all real power comes from God.
The night.